Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for being here. Glad to see that Samuel's all right. Glad also to see that Shanae made it out. We were able to set up Shanae with TARP 3 so she can receive public transportation, so that is great. And she's got a new housing situation, so that's wonderful news. We're thankful for those who are members that are able to be out tonight. It is very cold, and we pray that this service is warming you up a little bit, not just physically because of the nice accommodations that we have, but also spiritually. We thank you for those who are regular attendees, and we thank you for those who are visiting us from places like Elizabethtown and Alabama. We're grateful for you to be here. I have probably 200 or 300 sermons that I want to get in before the end of the year, but our yearly theme is the fruit of the Spirit, so I have to finish, and we have to go through these, and I am excited about that, but suffice it to say that 104 sermons is not enough in a year. I really, I'm passionate about a lot of different subjects that I want to preach on, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see which ones are selected. And this morning's lesson was actually the result of one of the members coming to me and asking me to present something on that. And I want you to know that I want you to always feel comfortable to share something that you would like to have explored a little bit more from the pulpit. That gives me ideas. I have a lot of ideas, but if I could tailor that to you, I'd be happy to do that, to make it as practical as possible. That is what preaching is. I've heard the gospel likened unto soap. Soap is only good if it is applied. And so preaching, I think, is handing the bars of soap out to our members and giving that opportunity to apply that soap. So I always view that as a privilege, and I want you to participate in that privilege with me by sharing ideas so that we could do the best that we possibly can to strengthen ourselves and to strengthen one another, so that we can get to heaven together. It's always a privilege to be preaching these things. And having said that, in regards to the benefit of sharing ideas, the idea that was shared for this year, the theme that we've had for this year, is fruit of the Spirit. And what we've been doing throughout the year, every month or 6 weeks or so, we've been looking at one of the characteristics that are there. There are 9 fruit of the Spirit. We actually started off a little bit backwards. Doug preached on self-control at the beginning of the year, so talk to Doug afterwards for throwing off the process. We're actually going to wrap this series up with gentleness as far as being kind of straight on. Now, obviously, some of the other lessons that we've talked about this year, all the lessons that we've talked about this year in some way relate to the fruit of the Spirit. For instance, this morning we talked about an issue in regards to self-control. The words that we select and the words that we use, and that very much is a process of self-control, as it is also related to things like patience and kindness and a lot of the other things that we've looked at. But we have one left that we haven't looked at, and that's gentleness. Gentleness is number 8 in the list. Again, we're not going to be specifically detailing self-control, although we might return to that idea by the end of the year. The 8th one that's listed is gentleness, or if you have a New King James, New King James does it this way. At least the original King James had meekness. Meekness. And so we've got basically 2 ideas that sometimes sound almost contradictory, gentleness and meekness. But I think and hope that in this lesson we'll be able to examine these things in a way that shows that they are very much compatible with one another and very much able to be understood by us. What we typically do is we look at some English definitions, but I think it probably is best to skip over the English definitions, just go straight to the Greek. After all, we need to know Greek to get into heaven, right? No. But it does help us to understand what the word is. And it does help us to reconcile those 2 words that are various renderings that we're thinking about. The Greek word is praoutes. Praoutes. And that's a difficult word to define. Even for somebody who spent a lot more time than me in Greek, it's difficult to define. And so there really is no one English word that captures the sense of it. And you've noticed that if you've studied languages a little bit. There's not always a one-to-one correlation, and so that's kind of one of the translators' issues that they have to overcome, one of the troubles that they have to overcome, and so you have different renderings. We have gentleness, we have meekness. I think those are pretty much the 2 ways that that is rendered. So meekness is a good way of translating it, but we're going to use the word gentleness because that's what's on our banners, and that's what we've been thinking about this year. Anybody here have a trouble with gentleness? I have a problem with gentleness. It's difficult, I think. In very many ways, this is very much related to what we've been thinking about throughout the year and some of these other different ideas. That's a common idea of meekness, but there is a common misconception about meekness, and that is that meekness is typically understood as what? Weakness. Or even gentleness in that regard. Gentleness, you think of somebody carrying a baby. You don't think necessarily of power, although certainly we should think of power. Meekness is power under control, and that's what we're thinking about here. And we're thinking about the Greek word praoutes, which is used here in the text. It does not suggest a form of cowardice or weakness. There is no idea inherent to the word praoutes. Rather, let's think about some of these definitions. Praoutes is defined as persons or things which have in them a certain soothing quality. Another way of thinking about that, they have a humble and calm demeanor that calms others that they interact with. They're level-headed. They're cool as a cucumber. They are relaxed. Not that they couldn't express power, but rather they're demonstrating that power over their own self, and that rubs off on other people in a positive and beneficial way. Second definition we have, and there are really four that we're going to be looking at here, the gentleness of conduct by those with power to act otherwise. And a great example of that is leadership. Leadership, particularly a king, somebody who would be in a monarchy or perhaps unfortunately in a dictatorship. We have somebody who has the ability to exercise power and they choose to control themselves. There's an old preacher story, so take it with a grain of salt. There's an old preacher story about Napoleon. And a mother came to Napoleon pleading on behalf of her son. And Napoleon said, well, he broke the law. Justice would dictate that he loses his life. And the mother said, I don't ask for justice. I ask for mercy. And the story goes, as preachers tell it, Napoleon let the son go because of mercy. Think of mercy, think of grace. Those very much are related to gentleness. Think of a king forgiving a servant who failed at a particular task. The man who neglected to repay 10,000 talents, for instance. That's the idea that we're thinking about. The king had authority to render punishment, but he chose rather to forgive and to demonstrate kindness. Such a king would be praised for his meekness, for his gentleness. A third definition's here, describing the ability to take unkind remarks with a good nature. A good-natured person, somebody who's well-rounded. An example of that would be in the midst of controversy. Somebody challenges you on something. What's your first inclination? To slap them silly? Or to answer as kindness would dictate. Gentleness. Being able to discuss things without losing one's temper because of unkind and unfair remarks that are being made against you. You see any applications coming from this? Defending the faith? Being at work? Being castigated as a Christian? Having troubles in your own family? Having troubles with friends? Having troubles with neighbor? Gentleness has so many applications to think about in this regard. Most often, meekness or gentleness, praoutes, is used to describe the character in which strength and gentleness are perfectly combined. Meekness, or another word that we use, comes from the French, finesse. Finesse. Serving a ball at 150 miles an hour within a few square inches of a tennis court. Power under control. Gentleness. Meekness. Give you a few other illustrations of this. A horse. A horse which is obedient to the reins. We read from James chapter 3 earlier, and it talked about the idea of a bit and a bridle guide a horse. Very small things guiding something that has immense power. Family watchdog. You had a big, enormous Rottweiler who will tear anybody to pieces, but what do they do with your children? They're protective. They care. Of course, we're talking about perfect gentleness and perfect meekness. There is great strength present, but it is tempered. It is held in control. Probably heard of Aristotle. Aristotle had a few ideas to think about in this regard. Classical Greek, before even the New Testament was written. Of course, Aristotle derives his truths from who? God. Anything that he says that's true, obviously, is reflected in the Word. Obviously, reflected in God. Although Aristotle certainly said things that were untrue as well. He said a few things that were helpful in our regard. in his work on virtues and vices, he said that praoutes was the ability to bear reproaches and slights with moderation, not to embark in revenge quickly, and not to be easily provoked to anger, but to be free from bitterness and contentiousness, having tranquility and stability in the spirit. As Paul says in Philippians 4, a peace that surpasses all understanding. That is what characteristic of somebody who possesses this fruit of the Spirit. That is characteristic of somebody who is walking in the Spirit. Now, this does not imply that there is never a place for anger in the gentle man. The gentle man, the meek person, can get angry. In fact, Ephesians 4 is one of those places that we read earlier in our lesson. Be angry and do not sin. That do not sin says what about the anger? It is controlled. It is held in check. Indeed, the man who displays praoutes, even according to Aristotle, doesn't avoid anger, but rather he gets angry on the right grounds and against the right persons and in the right manner and at the right moments and for the right length of time. He wrote that Nicomachean Ethics, very much compensating and balancing that notion that we have to help us define what exactly the Spirit is producing in the life of a Christian. As William Barclay said, the person who possesses praoutes, the person who possesses this gentleness, this meekness, he will err on the side of forgiveness rather than on the side of anger every time. Let's think about some examples. Open your Bibles to Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. One of the most humorous statements, I think, in the Bible when you think about who's saying it and who's writing it. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 3. Numbers 12:3 says, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." Now why is this humorous? Because Moses is writing this. "I'm so humble, I deserve an award." No, he didn't have that mindset. Of course, God is the one that is inspiring what he's writing. But it is an incredible statement that's made about him. Moses was likened as the one who was the most humble man on the face of the earth. What a description. What a description of an individual. If you have the New American Standard, there's a heading over chapter 12. And that heading says, "The Murmuring of Miriam and Aaron." Remember, we talked about gentleness and meekness is controlling yourself in hostile circumstances. Power under control. And so how fitting that Moses would be called the most humble man alive in the context of his own brother and sister challenging his authority. Let's read a few more verses from Numbers 12. Numbers 12, starting in verse 1. "Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, 'Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us as well?' And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and to Miriam, 'You three come out to the tent of meeting.' So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the doorway of the tent. He called Aaron and Miriam. When they had both come forward, he said, 'Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my household. With him I speak mouth to mouth," or face to face, we would say, "even openly and not in dark sayings. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?' So the anger of the Lord burned against them, and he departed. But when the cloud had withdrawn from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous as white as snow. As Aaron turned toward Miriam, behold, she was leprous." And then so on and so forth until about verse 15, where the section transitions. "Though as God's chosen servant, he could have rebuked Aaron and Miriam, he gave place for God. And God rebuked them, and rebuked them very seriously." Moses took the path of gentleness, of meekness. That's an inspired accounting of why Moses was quiet in response to this. It takes a lot more strength to control oneself in a hostile environment than to just blow one's cap. Indeed, Moses was not a spineless coward. Another illustration of this, Exodus chapter 32. After spending 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai receiving the law, Moses comes down to a people who are obstinate and rebellious, and they have built a golden calf. Exodus 32, verse 19. It came about as soon as Moses came near the camp that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned. Remember, the most gentle and meek person on the face of the earth. And his anger burned. And he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf which they had made, burned it with fire, ground it to powder, and scattered it over the surface of the water, and made the sons of Israel drink it. Is he still the most humble person? You bet he is. Why? Because as Aristotle said in Nicomachean Ethics, he got angry at the right time, with the right people, in the right way, and he responded the right way. He reacted very strongly to the golden calf, looking at verses 25 through 28. Now when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control to be a derision among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." Sounds familiar, right? We just looked at this a few weeks ago. And all the sons of Levi gathered together to him. He said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp. Kill every man his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. Then Moses said, "Dedicate yourselves today to the Lord, for every man has been against his son and against his brother, in order that he may bestow a blessing upon you today." Not our first example of gentleness that we think of. Go kill family and friends. That is an illustration of meekness, because it's at the right time, in the right way. Moses was not a spineless coward. He reacted appropriately. He reacted in a gentle way. And I think, again, that's one of the failures of that language. In a meek way, a very strong way. His meekness was the result of a humble opinion of himself. Our go-to example throughout this analysis of the fruit of the Spirit, Jesus. If anybody had the Holy Spirit bearing fruit in their lives, it was Jesus. In Matthew chapter 11, we have the word praoutes used of Jesus. In Matthew 11, starting in verse 28, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle, I am meek, I am praoutes, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, Jesus didn't only just say this, he demonstrated this. Turn to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, in the context of his trials. Matthew 27 and verse 12. "And while Jesus was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. And Pilate said to him, 'Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?' And he did not answer him with regard to even a single charge. So that the governor was quite amazed." He illustrated gentleness. He illustrated meekness. He bore this fruit of the Spirit in a perfect way. This was foretold about Jesus, that in the face of his adversaries he would be silent, as a sheep led to the slaughter. He was exactly the personification of this fruit of the Spirit that we're thinking about. Notice that this is not due to a lack of strength. He had demonstrated his strength already. The previous chapter in the Garden of Gethsemane, he maintained strength. He even told Peter, he said, "Do you not know at this very moment I could call upon my Father and 12 legions of angels would come?" Power under control. Remember, throughout the scriptures and throughout his ministry, power, power, power. Sometimes it's rendered authority. It's the same word. The Sermon on the Mount. Remember how that concludes? Foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Wise man builds his house upon the rock. What exactly follows that? He spoke with power. He spoke with authority. Unlike the scribes and the Pharisees, he spoke as one in control. He had demonstrated that in denouncing the Pharisees in Matthew 23. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees," pronouncing woe after woe after woe upon them in complete and total honesty. He had demonstrated power in purging the temple 2 times that we know of. John chapter 2 at the beginning of his ministry, after the wedding at Cana. And then we see that later on in Matthew, towards the end of his ministry, he cleanses the temple again. Power under control. That's gentleness. His meekness throughout his life, and even most noted at his trial, was evidence of strength, not weakness. And remember that, because as we demonstrate gentleness and meekness in the world, it's not always going to be responded to positively. A lot of times it's going to be called weakness. It's a dog-eat-dog world, and you're just going to let people run all over you. People will mistreat you and misidentify that strength that is within you when you demonstrate this. Do not fall under that illusion. Gentleness is power under control. From these two examples, we learn that gentleness is that virtuous quality by which we treat all men with perfect courtesy. That we can rebuke without rancor, that we can argue without intolerance, that we can face the truth without resentment. That we can be angry and sin not, that we can be gentle and yet not be weak. Again, this quality comes from having a humble opinion of oneself, along with the inner strength to control one's emotions, one's intellect, one's tongue, and one's behavior. It's power, not weakness. Now, let's think about this in application. The place of gentleness in the lives of Christians. Now, let's think about in particular first. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Go ahead and turn there with me. James 1, 21. Now, we need to recognize the passages that we're going to be putting up here, they all use the word praoutes. It's rendered sometimes differently, but it's the same word that we're talking about here. It's the same thing that the fruit, or it's the same fruit that the Spirit bears in the life of a Christian. James chapter 1 and verse 21. "Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, in praoutes, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls." Rendered humility there. Gentleness, power, humility. Three sides of the same weird-shaped coin. Exactly what we're thinking about here. In receiving the Word of God, we need power under control. In approaching brethren who are caught in sin, we need gentleness. We need power under control. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, "Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted." We have to approach brethren in error with a spirit of gentleness if we want to bring them back. 2 Timothy, a passage that we're going to be looking at some point, I promise, Lord willing. 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25. Of course, writing to a young evangelist, but in a general sense, it would be true of all people. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24, the Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. So in our response, in the response of us towards those who are straying, in response from us towards those who are outside of the faith, you can see it in every area, every avenue. Building on that, 1 Peter 3 and verse 15 says to give a defense to everyone who requests one of you. Now, 1 Peter is a context of tribulation and suffering and affliction. And so obviously that would have been a hostile environment as well. And so rather than respond in kind, you respond in kindness. As you respond in kindness, you demonstrate power under control. More generally, we need meekness if we are going to demonstrate ourselves as wise. James chapter 3, verse 13, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. If we are wise, if we are understanding, then our behavior will demonstrate gentleness. It will demonstrate meekness. Question is, does it? The last one. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. This is talking about women, actually. Verse 7 talks about men and the relationship towards their wives. Verses 1 through 6 of that chapter, wives towards their husbands in particular. And one of the things that's stated in that context is that if we want to be precious to God, of course, specifically women being precious to God in that context, but obviously it'd be true of us as well, we need to have gentleness. We need to have that control in our lives. Do you want to be precious to God? Do you want to be wise? Do you want to be understanding? Do you want to be walking in the Spirit? Do you want to be on the narrow path that leads to heaven? You need gentleness. You need meekness. And that is something that the Spirit bears in our lives. As we prepare to sing this song of invitation, let's summarize exactly what we've looked at. One who is walking by the Spirit is going to be a gentle person, even in the most trying circumstances, not because of weakness, not because of cowardice, but because of humility. And that humility is coupled with the inner strength to control one's behavior, self-control. Our last fruit of the Spirit. Such was the case with our Lord, who at all times demonstrated to all that he had a gentle and lowly heart. Something that he calls us to as well. And so I want to wrap this up by saying, let those who claim to be Jesus' disciples seek to emulate his example. As he is gentle, let us be gentle as well. And let there be found in us that fruit of the Spirit that it was found in Jesus our Lord as well. Jesus said that he was meek and lowly in heart. He said, if there is a burden upon you, take up his cross and follow after him. Take up his yoke and follow after him. So I encourage you this evening, if that is something that you need to do, if you need to follow the gentle and meek Savior of the world, then we'd love to help instruct you, either in coming to Jesus or returning to Jesus. If you would present your need, as together we stand and sing.